The scripture this morning is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Hear these words of Jesus. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The word of God for the people of God.
Let's go to God in prayer together. Heavenly God, Lord Christ, Holy Spirit, we are so grateful to be in this place on this day. We are grateful for the way that you speak to us through music, how it stirs our souls, for the way that we see children baptized and families profess their faith in Christ, and it stirs our souls and lifts up our spirits, for the way that we sit together and pray together and clap together, and for the way that that feeds our spirits. And so now, God, I pray that you would take the words that I have prepared and make them yours so that we might come to understand how you can feed our spirits, nurture our spirits, and heal our spirits. And I pray this in the name of Christ. Amen. Well, Mother's Day, quick little history on Mother's Day, in case you don't know this. It was in 1914 that President Woodrow Wilson declared Mother's Day a national holiday. This woman, Anna Jarvis, was in fact the founder of Mother's Day. She had campaigned for a long time to get a day set aside for mothers to honor them. And back in that day, it was definitely a religious observance of Mother's Day, and Woodrow Wilson signed it into being. It is interesting to note that some years later, Anna Jarvis campaigned for it to be taken off the national holiday because she felt it had become too commercialized. We can decide whether that is true or not. It is the number one day for restaurant reservations. It is tied with Valentine's Day for the number of flowers that are bought. It follows only Christmas for the number of greeting cards sold. So perhaps she was right. And yet, it is a worthy day to celebrate. I think it's important to celebrate Mother's Day, but I'll be honest with you, it is not an easy day to preach. Why, you may ask? You can take Anna down now. I mean, she's lovely and all, but it is not an easy day to preach, and you may wonder why, and I'll tell you, it's because we have so many different experiences of mother. Some of you had June Cleaver for a mom, and some of you are like, I don't know who June Cleaver is. Some of you had this wonderful mom. You still have this wonderful mom, and you're so excited to celebrate with her. I got to tell you, that video, that was a surprise to me. My kids were in that, and I'm just like, okay, I can preach now. What a wonderful thing to celebrate the mom. You know, that's just great. And some of you had this mom that you just adore, and it's so easy to celebrate, and some of you didn't have that mom. Some of you have children who are thriving and just soaring through life, and some of you have children who are not, and it's difficult. And some of you have lost children, and the grief of that makes today hard. Some of you long to have children, and even being out today is terribly difficult. So what do you say on Mother's Day? What do you preach? What word do you bring from the Lord on Mother's Day? And I was wondering about this, and then I remembered something that I think is important. Jesus had a mother. Jesus had a close relationship with his mother. It's all over Scripture, the relationship that Jesus had. You remember when young Mary finds out she's pregnant, she is carrying the Son of God. This is her reaction. She says, and Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. Her spirit is lifted up because she is pregnant with Jesus. And she is so excited, even though she is going to have to tell Joseph and the entire community that she is pregnant and not married. And still she's excited. And it carries all the way through. She is there, of course, at the birth, and then the shepherds and the wise men, and all of that happens. But you know what? The relationship continued. But I have to believe that it wasn't always peaches and cream. Because she was a mother, and Jesus was a boy. Doesn't matter if it was a boy or a girl, by the way. Children challenge us from time to time, in case you don't know that. You remember the time that Mary and Joseph and Jesus, they go with this whole community, they go to the temple in Jerusalem to at a ritual time to offer a sacrifice and praise, and they're on their way home. They've been traveling 3 days, and they discover Jesus is missing. Jesus is 12 at this time. Jesus is missing. This could have happened in that society at that time, and all of a sudden, they're like, where is Jesus? And they're frantic and they're worried. They have to turn around, go all the way back to Jerusalem. And there they find Jesus in the temple, calm, like, Mom, of course I'm here. Where else would I be? And Mary says this, Child, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously looking for you. At least that's the way it was always read to me. This is how I think it went. Next slide. Child, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been looking anxiously for you, and you're grounded for a week. She had to get mad at Jesus from time to time. And yet, as a mother loves her son, he was the center of her life. She loved him. And she kept him at the center of her life all through that life. She was there. She is the one who nurtured and cared for him as a young boy. She was there. She witnessed his first miracle at a wedding in Cana of Galilee. She was the one that said, please do this miracle. She's the one that pushed him into the ministry. And he did it. She was there at the crucifixion, right at the foot of the cross. Imagine that experience for a mother. And she was there when they buried him, and she was there at the resurrection, and she was there in the ministry that followed that resurrection. I don't think she understood everything Jesus was doing any more than the other apostles did. But as a mother and a disciple, she pondered things in her heart, and it refreshed her spirit, and she practiced trusting God. She never abandoned him. Even as he went away from her at times, even as he said things that felt really odd, she stayed with him in spirit, if not in body. And so, I wonder what Jesus would have said to his mom on Mother's Day. I wonder what he would say to us today, mothers or not. Today we're finishing a sermon series called When Things Fall Apart. And we're going to talk about our spirit and how do we focus on that. And it's hard to describe what a spirit is, yet it is so integral in who we are and what we do. And I think Jesus might have had a word for moms and for us. This wasn't meant to be for mothers, but as I read it this week, I thought about it. Let's look at the scripture again. Would you read this with me? Come to me, all you who are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. That brings my spirit peace. Does your spirit get troubled sometimes? The other week, I got to go to the beach. I got to go to the ocean, and I love to go to the ocean, and it was just a beautiful time, and the biggest decision that we had to make was every morning we had to figure out what time would the sun rise so we could go and we could witness the rising of the sun every day over the ocean, over the sand, as the waves would roll in. And I would stand there, every morning I would stand and I would just be overcome and I would say, new every morning is your love, great God of light, and all day long you are working for good in the world. And I believed it. I was solidly believed that God worked for good all day long. It was wonderful. It was this magical time with some friends, with my husband, with God. It was just great. My spirit was light and it was buoyant and I felt so refreshed and renewed. And then I came home. you know, when you come home and everything is still here. And it's not like I immediately got less and dull, but it was hard. It was hard for my spirit. And I remember one of the first days I came home, I sat with a friend and she said, you know, we've got a diagnosis, it's Alzheimer's. That's going to be difficult. And then some of you know, I have a grandson who is dealing with a life-changing illness. And that week we got news that the treatment wasn't working and he was going to have to try something new. And that just made my heart heavy. And I kept praying and I kept putting myself before God, which is, I know what we should do. And I would drive up here in the church in the morning and I would stand and I would face the rising sun, which is over there. And I would say, new every morning is your love, great God of light. And all day long, you are working for good in the world. And I would feel a flicker in my spirit. I would feel a little bit of a light, but it was not glowing. It wasn't glowing like it had. And I was like, what? What am I to do? One day I was hurrying, as you do. I was at home and I was hurrying. I had a cup of tea and it was sitting on the table and I needed to get someplace. And as I was moving, I knocked over the cup of tea. Luckily, it went under my computer, not on top of it. That was a Thanksgiving. But it went on the floor, in the walls, and on my cream-colored shoes. And I was like, oh. And it took a long time to clean up. I was late to the next thing, and then I got home. And when I got home, I found this plant that I had been babying along and nurturing. Yeah, it had shriveled, and it was dying. And I looked at the plant, and I said, oh, I get you. And I thought, why is my spirit not light? How do you go from new every morning to this flat, tired feeling? I wasn't terrible. I mean, it wasn't an awful thing. I don't want you to think I was in a deep crisis, but I wasn't light and buoyant, and I wasn't positive, which, for those of you that know me, like, positivity is one of my top gifts. And sometimes I have to watch it so I'm not too obnoxious with my positivity. But it wasn't there, and I just really didn't know what to do. I was aware that all was not well with my spirit. Those of you that follow Jesus probably know this scripture. It goes, God is a very present help in time of trouble. It's a great scripture. If you don't know it, God is a very present help in time of trouble. Something that I say and remind myself that, but I was like, how do I convince my spirit to trust God in time of trouble as well as in times of joy and delight? How do we renew our spirits? Look again at the scripture. Come to me, all you who are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. We're going to do a couple more Greek words today because I love them. And it's because the Greek, when it's translated, is often twisted around to fit into our English language. And so go ahead back to that last scripture where it says, come to me, please. Thank you. Come to me. Come to me is from the Greek word doute. Doute. And doute means come, come now. I'm inviting you to come. I want you to come. It is the child inviting you to their birthday party. Doute, come to me. Jesus is saying, come on, come to me. I want you to come here. It's an exciting time, and that's what Jesus is saying. He's not saying, come to me, all you who are weary. He's saying, come, come now. It's a feeling of exclamation which lets us know that Jesus joyfully welcomes us. And then he says, come to me, all you who are weary. Who are weary. Some of you know all who labor. And there's a reason. It's because the Greek translation it doesn't know what to do. And the Greek word that they use is, we're going to say this out loud, kopiao. Are you ready? Kopiao. Learn this word. I just throw it in your sentences today. Kopiao. And here's what it does. It is a person who has become completely exhausted due to nonstop, continuous work. Some of the moms are smiling. Some of the dads are smiling. Listen, this is a person who has a lot of responsibility and is doing their best in order to get everything on their plate done. It is not, oh my goodness, I have too many soccer games and too many things at work and too many parties and too many things. It is not that. It is not my schedule is full. It is I have too much work to do, but I need to do it in order to live my life. Kopiao. A friend of mine met a woman in the sandwich shop that she frequented regularly, and she got to know her. And this woman had two daughters, fourth grade and sixth grade. This woman, English was not her first language. This woman worked in the sandwich shop during the day. She cleaned offices during the night. She's a single parent. And these two daughters, sixth and fourth grade, she worried about them. It was heavy to her. And she worked and she worked, and yet she worried. She worried because she was like, will the older daughter watch the younger daughter? Will she actually pay attention to her? And she worried, she said, will I be able to pay the rent every month? That's a worry. If I have to keep working, I have to pay the rent. And then the big thing that she worried about was, you know, there are gangs that hang out around elementary schools and talk to young girls to try to convince them that life with a gang is better than the life outside of the gang. Right here in Herndon, Virginia. Kopiao. That mom was carrying that heavy burden, and she was working as hard as she could, and she couldn't stop working because there is so much weight and so much responsibility around it. Kopiao. And she needs to hear Jesus say, come to me. Kopiao. Labor produces these heavy burdens. Perhaps you carry a burden like this. Difficult relationship, job, family, financial situation. I think of a man who recently retired with plans of spending retirement with his wife. They were going to travel everywhere. They'd been waiting to do this. And right before they retired, she's diagnosed with Parkinson's disease. And now instead of traveling to exotic places, they're traveling to the doctors. And he loves spending time with her. They still love to spend time together. But now it is often sitting, waiting for something, the next thing. And they do crossword puzzles, and he loves her, but he's worried. He's carrying a heavy burden, kopiao. Because he doesn't know what will happen when he can no longer care for her. Kopiao. Come to me, all who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. These are the burdens that tire our spirits. Jesus eagerly invites us to come. Come, bring those to me, and I will give you rest. Rest, that elusive, wonderful, relaxing, rejuvenating experience that is so hard to find sometimes. You ask young moms, what's the number one thing they want? Sleep. A solid night of sleep. Young moms are not the only ones that long for that. Rest can be so elusive, and we do so many things to try to rest, right? I do them. I do yoga before bed. I drink herbal tea. I turn off my screens. I do the deep breathing, and I lay my head on my pillow, and it's like, oh, wait. And it starts to churn. Does yours ever do that? Yeah. Rest, it's elusive, and it's hard, and yet Jesus says, come, and I will give you rest. You know, sometimes when I lay down, take your hands and push on the back of your neck. Go ahead and do that. Push on, you do it at home too. Push on the back of your neck. It's like this pressure is here. And I'm laying there, I'm like, why can't I sleep? What is this pressure that I'm feeling? And you know what this is? It's a yoke. You know what a yoke is? A yoke is something you put on oxen so that they'll turn together. Yokes aren't necessarily bad. Depends on the yoke. But when I feel this, I'm like, oh, that's my yoke. Oh, I've got my yoke on, and my yoke is sin. It's like sinful behavior is a yoke. Yoke is I'm worrying. I'm worrying whether I'm going to get it right all the time. Yoke is like, well, what about my children? Are they going to be okay? And this yoke is so heavy. And Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Yokes aren't bad. Jesus' yoke is good. When you're yoked with Jesus, like, okay, Jesus, which way are we going now? I need that. I need that because I need Christ at the center of my life. And when I put a yoke on with Jesus, Jesus helps me turn to the center. We need direction in our lives. Jesus is inviting us to stop putting on the yokes that we create and to put on his yoke. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Does this mean we are going to skip through life? I don't think so. I think what it means is if we keep our eyes on Christ, our burden will be a little bit lighter. If we live like Christ teaches us to live, we'll remember that we're not alone. If when hard things happen, we turn and look toward Christ at the center, we will remember that someone is helping us with the kopiao. He is inviting us to let go of the bad things we want to do and grab hold of the goodness he offers. I think Jesus is trying to teach us to do what Mary did. Keep Christ at the center. She kept Jesus at the center, not just because he was her son, but because he was her Lord and Savior. How do we know this? Because she was there for all of it, from the time she carried him to his death, to his resurrection. And then, even in the book of Acts, you read about them praying together, praying for the Spirit. And she said they were all together, devoting themselves to prayer, together with certain women, including Mary, the mother of Jesus. She never let him out of her sight. Never. So many of our burdens come when we choose to turn away from Jesus, when we forget to care for our spirits as well as the rest of us. Caring for your spirit means looking to the center, looking to Jesus first. Caring for your spirit means practicing love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, knowing you're not going to get it right every time, but knowing that Christ is at the center, and if you yoke yourself to him, you will keep turning back. When we live looking at the center, we move away from the modality of juggling burdens and into a modality of love. We decrease the days of deep regret for actions we wish we would not have taken. And we increase the days of resting in the love of Christ. When we rest in Christ, we remember we have a spirit full of love and power. Families, all kinds of families need this strong center. Whether you are an individual or whether you have 10 in your family, whatever kind of family you have, we need the center. We need Christ at the center. It's what we hold on to. Perhaps if we had this center, if we kept that yoke and kept turning towards the center, we would learn and we would understand what it means that when something goes wrong, we just reach out to help. We don't stop and judge. We don't think, oh, I can't do that. I don't know how to do that. We try to gather resources for other people, and we try to make a difference in other people's lives. We see someone struggling, and we just help because they're struggling. I have a video to show you that I think completely illustrates one being helping another being that you wouldn't think would do it. So take a look at this video. Water buffalo and tortoise.
Oh my God.
Oh,
If you have Christ at the center of your life, you wouldn't hesitate to help a tortoise even if you're a water buffalo. You would not think that that would happen. But when you have Jesus at the center of your life and you are yoked to Jesus, you're going to turn and go, that's one of us. I need to help. And it's going to change how you live your life. It's not going to take away the kopiao. We will still carry heavy burdens. We will still need rest. And it will lighten the burden when we turn to Christ and say, Jesus, I want you at the center. Here's my challenge for you today. All of you, mothers, moms, dads, not moms, dads, all the things, children, I encourage you to go home and have a conversation about what it means to put Christ at the center of your life. What does it mean if you're 3 or 13 or 33 or 83? What does it mean if you live by yourself or you live with a partner or you live with your spouse or you live with your family? What does it mean to keep Christ at the center of your life? If we say we are Christ followers, let us follow Christ. Let us put Jesus at the center. Amen? Amen.